Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us for the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got a great show coming up for you. But we'd like to start by thanking some of the sponsors to help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank whoever it is. As soon as I get it right on my computer. I was trying to take notes, and you jumped ahead of me. And I'm, well, you know how it is, Cal.
There you go.
My head is messed up, okay?
That's okay. I mean, you know, it's all you can do to stay off Twitter these days, Tom.
No, I don't get on Twitter. Baby. But for our fabulous sponsors that continue to work with us through the day anyway, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of my tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So feel free to join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information as well. Hey, coming up later in the show, we're going to speak with veteran Lou Lartigue with the South Alabama Veterans Council. He's going to give us an update on the upcoming Armed Forces Day and Blue Star Salute coming up soon at the battleship. Of course, he's also going to get us up to date on the events scheduled for Memorial Day, which is just around the corner. And, of course, Tom's tirade on reviving Rambo. It's a good one you don't want to miss. But first, as Tom said, we are joined in the studio by a group of exciting professional women, the head of which, that's Ms. Brooke Odell with Ditch Witch, and they are all here supporting Ms. Jennifer Wright in her campaign for judge. So, Brooke, it's great to have you here, and welcome to the Scuttlebutt.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you ladies on board here with us tonight. But, Brooke, I know that you're a personal friend of Jennifer's, but give us a little insight about what you guys, your ladies, are promoting for her, and what do you think she's going to do for us as a judge, because you know she is.
Well, you know, we're getting down to the wire, so there's a lot of events going on around the week, and she's very busy and couldn't be here tonight, so she asked us to come and talk about her and our friendship with her throughout the years, and we're fortunate enough to have a strong women's professional friend circle with Jennifer for many, many, many years, and we try to get together about once a month, and we support each other. We try to get together, catch up, and we pray for each other. We parent together, and she's just a really good Christian conservative friend, and she is needs to be our next district court judge for Mobile County.
Well, I know that that's, from what I've known of Jennifer and the other ladies and gentlemen that I've had the pleasure of speaking to about it, and that they're all on the same page. And that's cool because we don't have any disgruntled people anywhere, you know, as far as I can find running around the street talking about it because she does such a beautiful job.
Right. To meet her is to love her and to know her. And she is a devoted church member. She's involved in JH Outback. She's involved with the Big Brothers Big Sisters program. She works in the community, and she has a heart of gold, and I just love her to death and want to see her as the next district court judge on the bench.
One of the things that she brought up when she was here before was the fact that she was going to help Keith, and we get Keith in there as well as the DA, to get our Veterans Court and our, you know, and get it back and get it rolling and get more involved with that, and so that we could get some more of our vets with some attention that they so deserve.
Right.
Now, this is not, and we had a gentleman call the other night talking about the VA court. It's not a VA court. It has nothing to do with the VA. It's a local court system. I think the judge is Judge Blunt, I believe is what she said. And he's already assigned to that, but they just don't have the other judges that are feeding the veterans to them that have the cases that they would be able to help her with.
Right. And she's 100% behind that. And we just think she's a really good, strong woman. And this is a very important time in our community to step up and get involved in elections and know the people that are running for the office. We need to get a good, strong people in office. And that's why we're so involved with this campaign and donating our time and our energy, because we believe that much in her.
All right. But you have a couple of other guests that sit with you here tonight in support of her. We have, what is it, Laura Reed? What part does she play in this game?
Go ahead, Laura.
I've known Jennifer for, I don't know, many, many years, going way back. And she, I know her as a strong Christian woman. She's actually, I consider her a mentor to me in that respect. And she's a strong person, and she's dedicated to the citizens of Mobile County.
Right.
And, you know, she's been doing that for almost 19 years. And to have that sense of community and responsibility is a trait that I want to see on the bench.
Right. We need that from the bench. And another thing in that area is she has lived in the Mobile area those 19 years that she's been here working with the DA. She's actually lived in this county.
She has.
And she lived in the Mobile, the city of Mobile.
She's lived in the city of Mobile, and you know, her opponents can't really say that.
No, they can't.
So.
One of them just moved to town, and I think got him some land so he could run.
That's correct.
But that's, you know, stuff like that happens.
It does.
Right.
Carpet bagging happens.
No, yeah. We've seen that from all the way back,
yes,
back in the Civil War days. But, well, that's awesome. But now, are you a member of any of the clubs with her? I know she participates in a lot of the social functions around town.
She does. Actually, I will be a new member of the Mobile County Republican Executive Committee come November, which I'm very excited about. And so, yes, of course, she's very involved in Republican politics, obviously, is running as a Republican candidate. But as far as other clubs, I know she was in the Mobile Junior League when I was in there, and that's really where I got to know her, as well as, you know, our friend group. I think I met her first in the friend group, but then she was also a member of the junior league, and so we grew closer through that. So, yes, she's very involved in the community, and Brooke mentioned JH Outback, which is really close to her heart, and also Big Brothers, Big Sisters. She's dedicated a lot of time and energy toward that, and I think really that's part of her calling to be, you know, a good mentor to young people growing up who are disadvantaged and don't have the same opportunities that a lot of other people do.
That's so true.
So,
Cal, you want to take us out and you can bring us back in after the break?
Sure thing, Tom.
Yes.
on the other side of the break, we're going to have more with this group of ladies talking about the Jennifer Wright campaign. And as always, you can go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. But we'll be back in just a few on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Hey, if you like to listen on demand, you can always check out our podcast of the regularly aired shows on the FM Talk 106.5 app. And Tom's tirade, if you want to get your blood pressure going, it's up at castbox.fm. And it's a privilege, again, to be joined by Miss Brooke O'Dell and some of her compatriots with the Jennifer Wright for Judge campaign. Ladies, thank you for being here with us, and thank you for supporting Miss Jennifer.
Brooke, it's a pleasure to have you ladies here with us tonight. And you have a couple of your other ladies here. I know Laura has already spoke a little bit, but you have another guest with you. Let's see what she has to say.
Yes, Tara Waldron is here. She was a chemist at Enyos Phenol, but she decided to take a sales role job so she could wear cute shoes.
That's what it's all about.
Thank you, Brooke. Oh, isn't it funny how important things I thought I wanted to wear cute shoes to work. So I decided, well, I didn't decide. I actually put in for a different job position and worked in the lab for 21 years and have had so much fun seeing the sales and the business services side of the chemical industry. Anyway, so talking about Jennifer, well, I was trying to think what would really make y'all change your mind and vote for her, and there's so many reasons, but I thought to make a little light of things is, you know, we were both pregnant together, and here she is, beautiful, bubbly, cute, and pregnant, and here I am, Shamu. And we were actually campaigning for Ashley at the time. And here she got Ashley Rich, you know, 12 years ago. And she bought us these t-shirts, and we would do the wave things in the morning for Ashley. And she's like, this baby wants you to vote for Ashley Rich. And to tell y'all how swole up pregnant I was, I had the baby the next day after Ashley was elected. So I just remember, you know, here she is. She had already had her child, but, you know, cute and bubbly. And here I am, you know, waving at all these. I was like, I'm going to kill her because I had to wear mine, too. And people were laughing at this big, chunky girl waving everybody. But anyway, I think I got her elected, just saying, you know. But anyway, Jennifer is by far out of our friend group, and there is like 12 of us, and we're a very diverse group. She is by far the most thoughtful praying friend out of all y'all, I'm just saying. But and she has done so many considerate and sweet things for me that, you know, she likes to Amazon us, you know, surprises. And you get them, I'm like, what is this? And there's a sweet note inside. But she's so thoughtful and considerate because she loves people, unconditionally, you know, because I'm hard to love a lot of times. So anyway, but the main reason, I mean, think about all the people who are endorsing this girl. I mean, she's big time. When you get the Mobile County Law Enforcement Association, the firefighters, the Home Builders Association, that's a big deal too. And the auto dealers, you know, retiring judges, Charge Graddick, John Tyson, the Mayor Mike Dowell. I mean, she's our girl that's going to be the next district court judge.
That's right.
Of Mobile.
And that's what it takes, you know. And that's neat. That's what we wanted to hear. Was your personal friendship with her, and that's what we need to know about. Is she just like we see her campaigning, or is she that way all the time? You know?
She's that way all the time.
That's awesome. What it takes, right?
Yes,
you know?
It does. She can get well, things not only, done. Not she got only me to wear that ugly T-shirt.
She's not going to wear that with that gown on. Brooke, give us a little more insight about some of the other things that you'd like to talk about, and or you can let Laura complete whatever she wanted to say.
Yeah, Laura has a thought.
Well, I'd like to talk about her experience in the courtroom. You know, even though she's been a prosecutor, she does have experience on how to be fair to both the prosecution and the defense, as she would be as a district court judge. You know, she's been practicing law in district court for the last 19 years. And as a prosecutor, you have to know the law. Right. And a lot of times you may have to educate the judge on the law. I mean, you're the one prosecuting, and you have to see if that defendant broke the law or not. Right. So she knows the law.
Yeah, and the burden of proof is on the prosecutor.
You know? That's correct, right. So she really has to know what she's doing, and she's been a successful prosecutor for these last 19 years. So she's going to use her experience practicing in the district court to make sure that the defendant's rights are protected while making sure the rights of the victim right, are protected right. as well.
Sometimes they're kind of kicked to the curb, you know, it's our victim.
That's right.
And
she is.
And
she
has so been overlooked.
Right, and she has been a strong victim advocate. As you can see, there are many victims' family members who have done ads for
right.
her.
Right.
And they talk about the compassion she has mm-hmm. for them and the strength and the toughness that she has in the courtroom on behalf of them
right.
when you know they don't know what to do
right.
and so they put it in their hands, and so many people have come out and talked about how great she's been for them.
And I think that's extremely important, because we don't want to hire or appoint a politician.
Correct. And she's,
you know what I mean?
She's not a politician.
And, well, we
at
have
all.
So much of that running in our politics this day
right.
and time, and everybody's a souped up politician and they're chasing
right.
the money.
Right.
And I like to see somebody that's just smart and will do a damn job.
Right.
You know, come on.
One other point to make is that she understands the need to run a courtroom efficiently and responsibly while making sure to be respectful of the witnesses, the victims, and the law enforcement's time when
right.
they take off work and come to be part of the justice system holding criminals accountable.
Right. Well, the other thing that we have to consider, and we hope that she did it, and I actually talked to her about it, is that she's been on the prosecuting side in the DA's office trying to get cases before the court. And she knows
right.
how important that is, and she knows how much delay we've had, certainly since the pandemic that we had. And
right.
that's messed up all of our court system. So
It has. And I know that the DA's office is working very diligently to get those cases
right.
heard. One point I'm going to make, and this is regarding the district attorney's race. I'm going to interject that
okay.
in here real quick. So Keith Blackwood is running for district attorney. He is now the chief assistant district attorney.
Right.
And his opponent is saying that he's going to, you know, get these cases tried within 90 days.
Right.
Well, that's really not possible.
No.
With evidence, drug testing, the different things that the DA's office has to go through. So that's really just a talking point to try to, you know,
right.
gin
right.
up support, and it's really not valid. So.
Well, but he's going to give 10% of his money, you know, to some kind of fund or something, you know.
Right. Sure.
So that means he's just going to do 90%, you know, job.
Right. Well,
okay.
yeah. And
so
that's just a
anyway, that's
yeah.
a different race.
Anyway, we're not talking about him, but I did.
But that's okay.
That was a good opportunity to bring that up. So
you have an opinion, and we appreciate that.
But getting back to Jennifer, no, she will be an excellent district judge because she knows the law.
Right.
And she will be fair.
That's great. And that's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
How about it, Miss Brooke?
I agree. She's fair. She's ethical. I've seen the countless hours she's worked on the murder cases and the time she spent away from her family and even our friend group. We've missed her while she's been supporting the community of Mobile County. And it's just a very, very important election. Please educate yourself with the candidates. Know them. Know what they're about. And please, on Tuesday, it's coming up, y'all, like 6 days, May 24th, please vote the right way. And if you're not right, you're wrong. Well, that's I had to say that.
That's hey, it's your opinion. But hey, we're appreciative that you ladies took the time to come out and support your candidate, and that's what we all should be doing in America, and try to get rid of some of these politicians that we've got around here that want these jobs, you know, for the money and the power. And we'd like to see people that really want to do the right thing and make sure that all of the stuff is taken care of like it should be. Been a pleasure having you on board.
Thank you so much.
All right.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having us.
All right. You want to say hi to your babies or youngins or kids?
Hey, Bryson and Blake. I love you.
There you go. All right, go
hey, on. Caroline and Thomas.
All right. Brooke.
Hey, Hayden, Taylor, and Cressley.
Uh-oh. There you go. Okay, ladies.
I feel like you're famous now.
And you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council will return on the Scuttlebutt.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. A voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And Tom, you want to go through our sponsors again? You got them up this time?
Yeah, I have them now. The ladies have left the building.
Oh, okay. So the distraction is gone.
Yes. We want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make the show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all his fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg in Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And it's always a privilege to speak with a great patriot and supporter of our veterans and military, Mr. Lou Lartigue, with the South Alabama Veterans Council. Hey, Lou, welcome back to SVN, and thank you for your service and your ongoing service to our veterans.
Thank you, Cal. Really appreciate you having me on tonight. And where's old Tom? Is he hiding over there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Lou, we have two of the heaviest weekends for veterans and people that work with us in our veterans organizations coming up this Saturday, and then on Memorial Day.
I tell you, it's busy, and we're just having a great time putting it all together for the folks in town and all of our veterans out there, and it's going to be a great event. A great event on Saturday, and so we're looking forward to it.
Well, we've hit that several times over the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, but let's highlight the run through the Saturday's Armed Forces Day Blue Star event at Battleship Parkway, which starts like at 7 a.m., and then let's get over and bring the attention to the Memorial Day and all the things that will be going on there.
That's great. And yeah, like I say, we have a brief Alabama Fallen Heroes salute at 7 o'clock, and then followed by kick off the 5K run, which is a great run down the causeway. And then we have the award ceremony. And then we have the Silver Wings Parachute Team out of Fort Benning, Georgia, the Army team who are going to come in and do a a jump from 10,000 feet over the thing. The Army National Guard helicopter, and so that is always a highlight of the show. Watching those guys and gals jump in, and they are really great troopers.
Well, Lou, you know, this is, we're always talking about our veterans and their spouses and our loved ones. But don't forget, this is a lot of entertainment here that the kids can enjoy.
Yes, it is. We're going to have a rock wall there. The National Guard is going to have their rock wall there for the kids to climb on. And we're going to have several Army and Coast Guard units there with their equipment for everybody to look at, along with the over 40 vendors that'll be there. I say vendors, it'll be like VSOs, Veteran Service Organizations, and different organizations that support vets around South Alabama will be there. So you'll have an opportunity to walk amongst all of these folks and see what they have and what they do for veterans and everything. So it'll be a great morning. We got some food trucks out there, so it'll be something for everybody.
It's going to be an awesome event. It'll get started early, but it'll also finish around, 1 o'clock?
Yeah, it'll be finished about 12 or 1, right before the rain starts.
Right, okay. We'll take that.
I want to encourage everybody, and we've been watching the reports, and I think the bad weather is going to stay away from us. Will let us get through the run, get through the parachute jump, and get through the time to have camaraderie and our Gold Star and Blue Star event, and before we get any precipitation. So we're looking forward to it, and we're planning on being there and having a great time.
All right, let's talk about Memorial Day.
Yeah, busy day, but a great day to recognize our fallen veterans. And we start off at the South Alabama Veterans Council over at the Battleship Park at 7 o'clock with a flag right raising and lowering over there at the battleship to start the day off in a brief ceremony. And then followed by 8:30 at the Virginia Street National Cemetery over Virginia Street. And they're going through some refurbishing of the building right now, so we'll be in a little bit different location around the side there, but you can't miss us. We'll be there. And then we break up right quick and head for the Veterans Cemetery over at Spanish Fort for another great ceremony over there that those folks and Admiral Davis has put together and his folks put together over there along with the folks at the Veterans Foundation. So it's going to be a great day. And, of course, you got the William F. Green at 9:30 is going to have an event up there, and Fairhope will have their event at the Joe Berendelli at the park there on the hill at Fairhope. So there will be a lot of opportunity for people to get out and show the flag and honor our veterans who have given all.
Yes. Yep. Some gave some gave all, Lou.
You got it.
Yep.
And it's a great day for that. And hopefully we'll be passing out some Buddy Poppies during the events for the folks to have from the VFW. So it's a great day.
We've got about 3 minutes left. How about highlighting again those dates? Or not the dates, but the times at the memorial.
Okay, it's
day.
7 o'clock over at the battleship for a brief ceremony there where we raise and lower the flags and do taps. And we have an 8:30 over at Virginia Street at the National Cemetery at 8:30. And that's always a great somber event with raising and lowering the big flag there at the cemetery. And of course over at Spanish Fort at 11 o'clock to see our great cemetery over there,
Arlington
Cemetery. And if people hadn't seen that, this is a perfect opportunity to see
it
in all
sure
of its glory.
Right.
So I encourage people to come out and see our cemetery.
That is awesome, right? And then the Green Home. And what time is that up there?
That's normally at 9:30 at the William F. Green in Baymanette.
Okay.
And see all of the old troopers up there. And that's always a great time to see them, and they're always beaming and a lot of spirit and a lot of esprit de corps and a really good time. And, of course, another great event over at the Fairhope at the pier, at the Veterans Park, where the Joe Verandelli had dedicated the signs.
That is awesome. That is really awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so much of that going on now. This is where you'll see most of our veterans flying their colors and wearing their uniforms of whatever organization or branch of service that they were in, and or if they're in a veterans or VSO organization now, American Legion or Patriot Riders or VFW or Marine Corps League or whatever, then you're going to see a lot of those colors flying as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, back in 2010, the law was passed that allowed veterans to salute the flag when they're not in uniform, but when the flag is present and passing. And so it's a great time for veterans to shine and show their allegiance to our country and our fallen.
What about do you have a website or something that they can look this up?
Yeah, we'll be putting on the SAVC website, and it's savc.com, and they can go and take a look at that. And you can also, if you want to find out a little bit more about what happens on the Armed Forces Day event, you can go to www.armedforcesdaymobile.com. And it's a real good video on there. The jumpers jumping out at 10,000 feet, and they got GoPros on their helmets.
No, that's
and
awesome.
And they show
right.
them coming down over the battleship. So it's kind of a neat thing. It kind of shows you what happens during the day.
All right, brother. I appreciate you bringing us up to date on all the events in the area. And as usual, you did an outstanding job. We appreciate your service there, Colonel.
Okay, buddy. And you and Cal will have a great day, and we look forward to seeing you on Memorial Day.
Yes, sir. We'll be around, brother.
Airborne.
All right. Thank you, Lou. And for more information, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on reviving Rambo. And more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Well, unless his communist handlers cut him off before he can
rumbling, bumbling, stumbling
his way up to and through the oath of office at some point on the 20th of January, the weekend at Biden's administration will officially begin. Of course, that is if he can remember to take the oath for president and not for the Senate, since he campaigned for both. One can only wonder what the over and under is in Vegas as to how many days he will actually serve, considering his addled state and his propensity to serve up rather milquetoast legislation during his 47 years of non-accomplishment while posing as a, quote, public servant, something that will not sit well with his communist progressive puppet masters or supporters, who wasted no time in demanding that their radical agendas be proffered by Biden in return for supposedly elevating him to the office. I guess they truly believe that it was their votes and not the midnight suitcases, phantom ballots, and dubious algorithms that came together to misappropriate the election from Donald Trump. See how I did that? I very carefully slipped that in below the radar of big tech, the cancel culture, and media censors that don't want to allow 74 million plus the ability to perpetuate the notion of the steal. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to realize that there was more theft involved in the outcome of this election than in your average Houston Astros World Series run.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Regardless of how long Biden is able to hold onto his post before Kamala Harris decides that it's time for Joe to sleep with the fishes, one does not have to wonder much about what the Biden regime will look like. A cursory glance at this slate of cabinet appointments, posing career bureaucrats and Obama sycophants to high-level positions in the executive branch, and the shift in policy from America First to taking it from Biden clearly indicates that the nation will be forced into what will effectively be the third term of the communist community organizer, Barack Hussein Obama's race to mediocrity. Unfortunately for our veterans, this means a return to the lip service from the administration and the Department of Veterans Affairs that we suffered through for 8 years. Remember the wait list scandal and its legacy of dying veterans waiting for care? The lack of accountability at the VA as the government union thugs were able to pilfer the agency at the peril of our veterans, and the never-ending backlog of claims at every level. Yep, as we have mentioned on air here on SBN, Biden's pick to head the VA, Dennis McDonough, who served as Barack Obama's chief of staff in Obama's second term during the period that included the scandal over wait times for medical appointments, worked closely with former VA secretary, just call me Bob, McDonough, during his failed tenure at the agency. In case you have forgotten, the waitlist appointment scandal was a systemic effort of deception and neglect within the agency tasked with caring for our nation's veterans. In its aftermath, McDonough defended the administration's action, claiming that the department was dealing with a dramatic expansion in terms of the healthcare system and providing education benefits. Of course, what this really means for our veterans is that the focus at the VA will shift from the veteran first policy of the Trump administration to the union first mentality with which we became all too familiar during the Obama years. It is an unfortunate truth, but remember that you heard it first here on SBN. Another reversion to the policies and attitudes of the Obama years is already on display. No nominating process needed. That is the portrayal of our military and veterans as mentally unstable men and women on the verge of going either A, Rambo, B, taxi driver, or C, Charlie Sheen. Ticking time bombs waiting to unleash a lethal cocktail of military experience and mental illness upon an unsuspecting nation, its people, and aw shucks, politicians simply trying to uphold and defend the Constitution. Okay, that last part was nothing but bullshit. Just saying, remember big sis Janet Napolitano, the secretary of the Department of Homeland Security? Security under Obama? The very same Janet Napolitano that warned our law enforcement that our returning veterans posed a dangerous threat to society? In fact, it was in my very first tirade, the sniper who came in from the Colt, that I mentioned the overt portrayal of our veterans as whack jobs by Napolitano when she placed our veterans on a terrorist watch list early on in the first reign of Obama. Things went downhill from there, although the campaign went into more of a stealth mode when Defense Secretary Leon Love Shack Panetta disarmed all Marines before his visit to Camp Leatherneck to discuss the rash of green-on-blue attacks. And when Marines at the second Obama coronation were equally dishonored by having the bolts removed from their rifles as they paraded with the communist in chief. Of course, Biden wouldn't have to worry about Marines popping a cap in his ass too soon because they know that next up is Commie Harris, kind of like out of the frying pan and into the fire for the nation. Now, you may be wondering exactly where his top cat hanging his hat on this theory. Well, one only has to look at reports from the government-run media in the wake of the Capitol insurgency to see that veterans and indeed our active-duty military members are once again being portrayed as deranged anti-government whack jobs, whether they stepped on the Capitol grounds or if they merely had the gall to attend the rally. They were quick to report that the first casualty of the Second American Revolution was an Air Force veteran, Ashley Babbitt, who was a resident of California and who may very well have been in D.C. to protest the oppressive regime in California as much as she was to prevent the elevation of Biden to commander in sleep. Only of late has it been revealed that Biden served for 14 years, held a high-level security clearance, and was, get this, an Obama voter before she realized that she lived in a state that cared more about her toxic whiteness than her desperation over trying to salvage her post-military business that was ravaged by dictator Gavin Newsom's COVID shutdown. Countless others on the media's most wanted list from those fateful hours in D.C. have had their prior military service used against them to once again paint our veterans with the broad brush that will be needed to cancel military service as patriotic if your views do not align with those of the ruling elite. Do not doubt the top cat on this. The swamp is scared. And it's scared of you, the freedom-loving American patriot with the Constitution as your guide and divine providence as your armor. and the ammo to back it up. Case in point, after announcing that National Guard troops deployed to D.C. will be carrying lethal force, officials from the incoming regime, under the guise of a concern over a, quote, inside attack, have ordered that the FBI vet all 25,000 troops that have been beckoned to D.C. to protect the swamp from we the people. I mean, come on. These troops have obviously already been checked in order to enter the service, and yet the ruling class is so terrified of the voters that they want a second swipe at the apple cart, just in case there are any conservatives in that group. As we saw in the Obama regime, it is simply weaponizing the intelligence and law enforcement communities against those with whom you disagree politically. However, this is necessary for the incoming regime to create a schism between our veterans, the military, and the general populace once again in order to generate fear amongst the civilian world of an armed revolt against the progressive push to communism. In doing so, it becomes easier to use the whack job mental illness card against those patriots who have honorably served and continue to fight for the future freedom of this nation. They know that if they are successful in disenfranchising and disarming this segment of the population, then the remainder of the sheeple will be all too easy to enslave. Just remember, you heard it here first. So keep your head high and your powder dry. You are not alone. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Clutcher.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And a great point there. You know, Tom, that obviously that was that tirade was done as the Biden administration was really getting started. And you mentioned the fact that we were going kind of going back to the future when it came to what was going on in the Veterans Administration and the problems that they had during the Biden or the Obama administration. But here's a story just out in the last couple of weeks. And the headline is Cultural Shift Needed to Combat Patient Safety Failures at the VA. A watchdog, the VA Inspector General, it has said that events at the VA, including suicides and patient miscare, should not be treated as one-offs, but should be basically looked at as part of a larger problem within the VA. And geez, you know, we're what, a year and a half into the shift from the results-oriented, Trump administration to the union-oriented Biden administration. And yet here we are, the VA Inspector General is already saying, hey, look, there's problems here. And I can only hate to say it, but I think it's probably not going to get any better because we know who's actually running the ship now, and it's no longer the patient-oriented or veteran-oriented Trump administration. It's now, the union-oriented
right.
Biden administration.
Right.
But, hey, that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans, we thank you for joining us, and we hope that you will join us again soon. Again, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!